Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit Morrison's Appliances and Service.com.
Hey, welcome everybody. By golly, glad you could get up this morning. A little cool this morning, but we're glad you could get up. This is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill over here.
And this is Don Jordan.
And I'm Rich Reardon.
Oh my, there's a voice that come in I don't even see.
He's from up there.
Yeah,
I'm way above.
Way above.
And I will tell you that it is 30 degrees right now.
Yeah, you don't have to remind us, brother.
We know.
I got to let the people know because they're still laying in bed all snugging as a bug in a row.
Yeah, with the radio on and listening.
Stay in bed.
Yeah, don't get up early. Well, maybe the sun will come up and warm things up here after a while.
Well, you know it's going to drop by below 30.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not daylight yet.
No, it'll be 28, something like that.
Well, hey, guess what?
What?
We got a slight chance of snow showers again today.
Oh, I can't hardly wait.
That's just here right for Don, coming back from Florida.
He brought it all back with him.
Now, what's going on with this April snow showers thing? I don't understand it.
Well, I don't know. It used to be... April showers bring May flowers. I guess it's April snow showers brings May flowers. I don't know.
Well, I bring mushrooms. You know, I've been yesterday. There's this site on Facebook called the Mushroom Hunter. And there was 10 or 12 pictures of people that already found mushrooms this year south of the Ohio River.
Yeah, way south.
And big bunches of them, too. You know, big bunches.
Big bunches.
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. We maybe ought to go south of the Ohio River.
Well, I don't know. You know, I just don't know the lay of the land down there. You know, I'm afraid I might trespass on somebody's property who might shoot me.
Well, you got to get permission if...
Well, yeah. Where do you get permission? Where does a Hoosier get permission to hunt on a Kentuckian's land?
Oh, they're not that bad.
They're not, huh?
No.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that, Bill.
Down in Tennessee, they should be finding them in Tennessee and Kentucky.
Absolutely. The ones I saw were from across the river. They were over in Arkansas.
Arkansas, they got them too. So.
They're everywhere, Bill. They're seriously, they are everywhere.
Everywhere.
There was one guy who posted a bunch that he'd found in Greece. You know?
It'll all be.
How about that?
Well, they grow in Greece down there in Kentucky.
Yes.
They are in a frying pan in Greece.
Right. That's where I usually put them, in Greece.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at this picture, and this guy had a real long, funny name, and, you know, he's from Greece. He's been hunting mushrooms in Greece.
Well, I'll be darned.
I never heard of the such, as they say.
I guess they got maybe some elm trees and stuff, ash trees and what have you.
Well,
over
you just drove through there, Don, didn't you?
Where?
Well, Kentucky.
Tennessee.
Yes, I did, and red buds out, their dogwoods were out.
I don't see a bud on the
tree yet. That was over a week ago. So. Yeah.
Well, I don't see any buds up here yet.
No, like I said, you know, earlier, it's a good thing that it stayed cold. maybe when it warms up, it'll stay warm.
I got some little teeny red buds on my red bud tree starting out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good to hear.
Yeah. I have seen the lilac bushes was starting to...
Lilac's got a few on
leave out and stuff.
Forsythia's been blooming since we got back.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We got to take a little break right now.
Where are we going?
Well, we're going to eat carrot cake. And take a little break. And don't go away, folks. We'll be right back in just a short.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. You're listening to, today, Inside Outdoors. Hope you're enjoying your morning, and we'll be right back with the boys in just a second. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Welcome back, folks. By golly, glad you could stay with us. And we're talking about the forsythia. Was that what
forsythia?
Was?
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you asked two or three weeks while you still in Florida for blooming. Well, mine wasn't blooming. Mine wasn't even budded out, but there were some that were. Now, what the difference is, I have no idea. But, yeah, they were 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, ours are blooming in full bloom right now.
Well, mine's still not.
Huh. Well.
I got different ones, I guess.
Okay, here's the big question today. Will this frost this morning... nip the peach trees in the bud?
It shouldn't, because they're not budded out.
Now, there you go. Well, that's what I was telling people. They said, well, it'll kill the buds too. Well, I don't know.
I don't think so, because, and that's what I have said before, you know, in the past, this cool weather has been a blessing in one way, because I think when it gets warm, and hopefully we don't have another freeze after it stays warm for a week or two. We ought to have a lot of fruit this year. But, you know, who knows the way things are anymore.
Well, that's right. But, I think that probably next week it'll be 100 degrees and stay that way for about 3 months.
I think that whenever it does switch, it'll switch overnight. You'll go from heat to air conditioning.
Well, you know, one thing about that is kind of good is that all the mushrooms will come up at once.
Yeah, they'll all come up at once, because when that sun pops out...
All right, they're ready. You know they're ready.
Yeah.
And they will come up no matter what at some point.
At some point, somewhere.
So I'd say the first warm night we have, you better get out there next morning.
Yep. Because if you got a favorite place, you better be there.
Yes,
or Don and me will be there for you.
But we know we're not without permission.
No, as long as if it's on private ground.
Yeah, it's on private.
Now, if it's on public ground, forest ground, we probably might not ask.
Well, my favorite mushroom and spots are over at Yellowwood State Forest, where they've been clear cutting trees.
Have they started doing that?
Well, they've been doing it for years now. And some of that is right in my mushroom hunting area.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
We'll see what groweth.
Mm-hmm. We will. Mm-hmm. And fishing-wise, I haven't heard anybody say they've caught any fish.
Well,
'cause What idiot would go fishing? Well, I know some people will go fishing in this kind of weather.
Oh, they've been some go, yeah.
I haven't heard anybody saying they're stacking them up. You know, they might catch some small crappies maybe at Lake Monroe.
Oh, they might.
Maybe at Cataract the crappies are biting. I don't know.
Snag onto one now and then.
I'll tell you what is biting right now is the steelhead up in northern Indiana coming out of Lake Michigan. There were several pictures on Facebook this week of guys with nice steelhead, and they're dark in color, mm-hmm. which usually means that they've been up in the creek. Trail Creek is generally where everybody fishes. That's up in Michigan City. They've been up in that creek for some time to turn that color, because when they come in out of Lake Michigan, they are steel colored. They're silver. They're, you know, they don't have that red stripe down the side.
Yeah.
Right. They're just, that's the reason they call them steelhead. They're gray, you know. Well, the longer they're in there, the darker they get. And the first one I saw on there yesterday was really dark.
Really?
It'd been in there a week or more. And of course, they've got spawning colors too to brighten them up this time of year. You know, they're a pretty nice size fish. I'd say they were 10 pounders, you know, every bit of 10 pounders. And boy, did they put up a fight. If you never caught one of those, you ought to owe it to yourself to go get one. Just one. Because they will jump, and they can jump 10 feet across laterally across the surface of the water. It's just amazing. And they just never quit. They zoom, zoom, zoom.
Never give up.
They're fighters.
Well, that's good. That's what makes it interesting.
That's what makes them so successful.
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Yes, sir.
So keep that on your docket for fishing this year if you want to see something new. And I would hire a guide, you know, just for half a day. It's all it'll take for you to catch one. And make sure you got the right kind of lure that they're using up there. And they'll take you to where the fish are, and you'll have a much better chance. And then next time you go back, maybe you won't need a guide.
Yeah, you'll know more where you're going.
Right. That's the way to use a guide is, you know, you hire them once, fish on their information a couple times, and then maybe hire another one. And before your life's over, you know every place they know.
Right. Right. It's no secret no more.
No secret. Well, we got this thing here, Bill, about this missing kayaker. We were talking about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the break, and they found him last night.
This is in Bartholomew County, which is Columbus, right?
Over Columbus.
Right. Missing kayaker found dead Friday not far from where his kayak was found earlier than the day. His name is Kagan Matlock, and his body was found 100 yards away from his kayak, between Tana Hill Bridge and Lowell Bridge on the Driftwood River. Talked to his friends Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. He spoke of going kayaking in Columbus, and by golly, he did. Authorities were contacted Thursday morning when he failed to come home, and they suspended their search that night because it was getting dark. And the water, now here's this key item about this story. The water was too high for the searchers to use boats to look for this kayak. Now, I know that rivers are much more exciting when they're at flood stage and roaring down through there. They're also much, much more dangerous. And the fact that the DNR guys couldn't use their rescue boats to look for his body, and they had to use lines that they spread across the river.
Out, yeah.
Right, and, you know, that's dangerous right in itself. So, having been a kayaker for most of my life, I understand the draw of the fast water and how much more fun it is if you can go bouncing around and, you know, maybe get a little wet. But it's also, you can get trapped, you can get dumped, you can get sucked under. There's just all kinds of hazards out there on a flood stage stream.
Right.
So take it easy. I remember years, you remember when the Dr. Donald Tite's son died in a canoe accident on White River in the flood stage.
Yeah, I faintly remember that. The
local dentist.
Right.
A Boy Scout and apparently an expert canoeist. And it just happened. It's too often. So stay off those streams unless, I don't know. If you got on your life jacket and I don't know how you drowned with your life jacket on, but I suppose you could hit your head, you know, something like
that. They didn't say where he had a life jacket or not, presuming he didn't have.
Well, I figured he did. I mean, who would go in a kayak?
Of course, once you hit that water, it wouldn't take long to.
Oh, no.
As cold as it is, it wouldn't take long to. You're done.
You're right, Bill. That's 1 minute per degree.
Oh, man.
So if the water's 40 degrees, which it probably is.
Probably around that, yeah.
That gives you 40 minutes before you get hypothermia and check out. So it doesn't say a thing about whether or not he had a life jacket on.
Well, can I throw in something here?
Yeah, go ahead and throw it in.
I've survived a canoe accident in Missouri one time with it wasn't necessarily flood stage, but it was pretty, it was in the spring, it was flowing real good, and I had a life jacket on. We came around a corner and there was a tree across that had fallen across the whole thing.
Ah, sweeper.
And we slammed into that, no way to avoid it, and I got sucked down into the root ball of the tree.
Oh.
And there was nothing I could do. The pressure of the water was so heavy.
Right.
Fortunately, there was a friend of mine who was a Vietnam vet kayaker. He reached in and grabbed me and helped me up. And if it hadn't been for him, I'd probably still be there.
That's a helpless feeling when you feel the power of the water.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
Oh, it's got a lot of power.
It's got more power than you could ever imagine.
Oh yes.
We've all seen at least, you know, the Red River in Kentucky, East Kentucky. Mm-hmm. That's one of the best whitewater rivers anywhere in the eastern U.S., right? So back in the day when I was a young fellow, we used to go down there and float that. And every year you would find these aluminum canoes wrapped around trees only about 20 feet up in the air, you know?
Oh,
You know, they were on that river when it was
high.
Way high. And that river is full of boulders, and somebody dies down there every year.
Well, I imagine, yeah.
So, you know, it's really dangerous to be in high water. Really dangerous.
Oh, it is. It's.
The DNR warns people about it. They, you know, stay out when it's at flood stage. But, you know, you're a kayaker,
well,
you're going to go.
They pay about as much attention as that as a flooded road.
Yeah.
They'll put up barricades and everything else, and then they'll drive around them and then wonder why they got stuck in the middle of the water.
Without a paddle?
Up a creek without a paddle.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we got to take another little break.
We've
got to recognize our sponsors and all that. They're the ones that pays for this program, so we better take a little break and recognize them. So, folks, don't go away. Get you by golly, let's have some biscuits and gravy this morning, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB serving Bloomington for over 25 years, broadcasting from the John Waldron Arts Center and Ivy Tech Community College, proud supporter of WFHB Community Radio. This is A Day. When it's cold out, so watch out there. It's right now 30 degrees, and today will be a slight chance of snow showers. Saturday, you know, it might be a little bit sunny towards the later part, but it's not going to be that great. And then Saturday night, we're looking at a low of 23. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 46. Monday, it's going to be 50 degrees. Tuesday, 49 degrees. Hopefully it's getting a little bit better. Doesn't seem to be getting too warm in the middle of the night, though. We're still down towards freezing, so...
Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, you know, we was talking about biscuits and gravy. I guess one of these days I'm going to have to get my skillets out and my pots and pans and make a big old pan of biscuits and gravy.
Well,
boy, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds good
it?
To do.
Are you going to bring that in?
No, you'll have to come to me.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to do a remote down at Moffett Lane.
Yeah.
And, well, have you gotten into that carrot cake that I brought down for you today?
I was wondering about how carrot cake and biscuits and gravy would go together.
Well, I don't know. It'd probably be all right because carrot cake's good. I haven't tried mine yet.
Would you put your gravy on your carrot cake?
No, that wouldn't be good. No, that wouldn't be good.
You might save the carrot cake for dessert.
Right.
Dessert with biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fill up on biscuits and gravy, and then have your carrot cake later.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, I got the Lake Monroe level.
Oh, you have?
The first one I've seen for a while.
Well, I didn't go to DNR yesterday.
Well, we got 550.7.
550.
Bless you, my son. That's 538 standard.
Right.
So 550 is what we're 12.7.
Gosh, that's about higher than I've ever heard it be.
That's pretty high.
Well, 557 was the highest, 556.
Yeah,
right.
That's when it went over the dam and washed out the road. And
to go over the spillway. You got to be up there.
But we've had a lot of rain. Boys, I tell you, we've had our share of rain.
Well, you think that's bad. Just happened to look at this chart on water levels around the area here, in the Louisville district. Now, I don't even know where Carr Creek Reservoir is in Kentucky, but it is 1,022.2 feet. How's that? That's and here's another one. Cagle's Mill, that's ours.
That's ours.
That one is 42.4 feet above normal. It's 678, and it goes 636 normal. How about that?
Gee.
42 feet.
42 feet, that's a lot.
Fishing probably a little slow there.
I'd say it would be real slow, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it'd be real slow.
And there's no water temperature for Monroe posted yet. So they're still going on the November water temperatures on their online.
Well, that's getting up there, though, 12 foot above normal.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, we'll probably get some more.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to snow and rain next week.
Wow.
Snow won't amount to much, probably, but we're going to get rain next Thursday and Tuesday and whatever.
Well, it's going to be hard to get your garden working on.
I tell you, we've missed Good Friday on our taters.
Uh-huh.
We've missed that.
Well, it's time for, isn't it? Shouldn't we already have radishes and whatnot down?
In
March.
Onions, radishes.
Uh-huh, and maybe lettuce.
Lettuce, yeah. Lettuce should definitely be.
So if you haven't got it out, you better get going.
Yeah.
Get your long johns on and get out there
unless
and dig.
Unless you've got a hothouse.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to have any radishes or anything like that. If you've got a hothouse, well, you're all right. But
We got a hothouse, but that's just because we burn so much hickory.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we got a warm house, too, and a hothouse or whatever you want to call it. But it's not for plants, although I do have some tomato plants seed. I planted some seeds.
Yeah.
They're coming up.
What brand did you write? What variety?
Beefsteak for one.
Beefsteak, yeah.
And then good. Early Girl for another one.
Early Girls are good.
Oh, yes. Them Early Girl, I like those.
And they come on early.
Early, yes. And then I got another one that's, and I don't remember the name of it. It's a 55-day one. It's even earlier than Early Girl. Early Girl 65.
Jet is fast one. That's a
I don't remember what. I don't remember the name of it. It's something new out, or new to me because I'd never seen them before.
Well, we had last year had a new variety that we hadn't seen before called the Hardy Boy. Hearty Boy. Which, you know, we've had trouble growing tomatoes. I've never made any secret about that for the last 3 or 4 years. That Hearty Boy really did well and produced quite a few tomatoes and tastes like a big boy. You know, they must be descendant from that.
Well, they could be. Hearty Boy, Big Boy,
right.
Bad Boy,
right. And
all them boys.
I believe the guy that invented that made the Big Boy tomato, I read it sometime, was from Bloomington, and he went to work for Burpee, and that's where the Big Boy tomato came from.
Well, I'll be. I hadn't heard that one.
A plant geneticist.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know, too, you probably do, since you know about this stuff, most of these tomatoes that we grow today are descendants of tomatoes that grow over in Eastern Europe.
Right.
How about that? Like Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm. Germany over in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're practically all vining tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And all different colors. There's some purple ones.
Oh, yeah.
Black
purple,
ones.
Red ones. Yeah. And yellow ones. And
yeah, there are.
Green ones and blue ones. And yeah, they are.
The world of tomatoes is kind of like the world of corn, which has hundreds of varieties.
Right.
Too. So, yeah, man, I'm just, my mouth's getting a little.
Little
watery thinking
tasty,
about that.
Tasty, yeah.
Thinking about that. And you know what'll be coming up pretty quick, actually, will be asparagus. If you got any asparagus out?
No, don't have any of that out.
Well, they'll be coming up pretty soon.
I'd say they will. Well, I mean, it's time of year. I mean,
right.
This is April.
Yes.
Got almost a third of April gone, and still haven't had a decent day hardly.
Well, that's right. Well, let's see. I got to mention this news story that showed up that Remington Arms is bankrupt. And, you know, that makes all of the big three, Colt, Smith & Wesson, Remington Firearms, all bankrupt.
Yeah, that don't, like I said before, I think too many people had their hands in their pockets.
Well, considering how many guns they sold
mm-hmm.
during the Obama administration,
oh yeah,
that it was, you know, new records every year. Well, that's millions and millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
and they're bankrupt this year for that's 1 year of Trump being in office. Gun sales are down like 30%. You know,
right.
So just that one little bump makes them all go out bankrupt. I think you're right, Bill.
Yeah. Too many people getting their hands in the pocket.
They had their hands in their company's pocket.
Right.
And guess who is the loser? Well, in Remington's case, with their misfiring rifle that they refused to take responsibility for decades, I'm not going to miss Remington too much.
No.
Now, Colt G., the oldest firearms manufacturer, or Remington, they say is the oldest, but Colt was the first one with the pistol. They made the revolver, you know.
Right.
They're the history of our country. And then Smith & Wesson, which was kind of the Cadillac of...
Of all the guns.
Of the guns, you know, a big rep and on TV and everything, and them being gone, that leaves, like, Savage, right? Friend of mine's brother up in northern Michigan just bought a Savage deer rifle, which I had a Savage, and they never misfire. In my experience, they've never misfired. They always fire. They have a very positive safe trigger safety. And so I think they'll probably stay in business for a while. They seem to have weathered many storms.
Oh, I'd say they will.
And because these guys are bankrupt doesn't mean they're going to disappear. They're going to stay in business.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This is just so they can get their hands in their pocket a little further.
Well, get this. Remington was in debt $700 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their creditors to forgive them $500 million of that $700. Now, if I'm in debt for $700, they're not going to forgive me 7 cents.
No, they're not.
But $700 million is nothing for them to forgive. I don't get it.
No, I don't think anybody else does.
Well, somebody's getting it.
Yeah, somebody got it all right.
Okay, well.
Yeah, somebody got it all right.
Yeah.
I think we're all getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to pay for it.
We're getting the hose.
Well, guns has got so high, of course. I mean, I understand that. Labor's went up, materials went up, everything's went up, but guns are so high that...
Well, one thing that didn't go up was the quality of the firearms, as has been shown. Although those AR-15s sure seem to be working well.
Boy, they're moving them.
In that same story about the bankruptcy, the AR-15 is the weapon of choice for mass shooters.
Well, yeah. I mean, take all them mass shooters, and what kind of gun did they use?
Yeah. Uh-huh. If it wasn't an AR-15, it was a Bushmaster, which is
same thing.
Or a rifle like that.
Similar, yeah.
You know, they're short. They can be broken in two pieces quite easily to fit in a small bag. They shoot fast. Even if they're not full automatic, they'll shoot as fast as you can pull the trigger. They have a dangerous ballistic signature in that the bullet wobbles and causes severe damage when you're hit with it.
Right.
And it's just... Yeah, I hate to say that we ought to ban them, but by golly, we really don't need them. And if
what good are they? I mean, other than to have one and for a mass shooting, I mean, they use, like you said, use them for that. I've been to Wyoming, I've been to Colorado, I've been in Nebraska and hunted deer, elk, antelope, everything but a bear. I never hunted a bear. And of all the hunters that I've run into in them three states, and I've been going out there for 25, 30 years, 30 years at least, more, I guess, and I have never run into anybody that was hunting with an AR-15 or, I mean, they're not a hunter's gun.
I've never seen one either, Bill. I've never seen one.
I've been in all them states, and I've hunted year after year after year and run in and talked to hunters, and most hunters are pretty friendly, you know, and you stop and talk and see where they're from and what they're hunting and if they've seen anything or whatever, and I've never seen a gun of an AR-15 caliber
type
in anybody's hand hunting a wildlife.
Well, you know where I have seen lots of AR-15s? Vietnam.
Well, yeah.
I saw lots of them there. And on TV, anytime they don't show too often anymore, our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, they're, you can see some M4s, which are the descendants of the AR-15. But no, I've never seen one in the field in the United States. And I have seen them at firing ranges. You know, that's a good place for them.
Well, yeah.
You know, if you got to shoot, say you want to shoot something that make you look like a big bad soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to shoot an M4, which is an old redo of the M16, if you really want to shoot one of those, and if you really want to shoot a grenade launcher, if you really want to shoot a sniper rifle, 50 caliber. Join the Army or the Marines and go to Afghanistan.
You're right.
You can get all the shooting in you want.
Yep.
And you might leave our kids in school alone.
Right. They don't deserve what they're getting, and just leave them alone.
Well, things keep going like they're going. The firearms companies are all going to be moving to some other country anyway. Because they can't sell any guns with the current political situation. It's too good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good for them.
But, right. You know, I've thought of that many times, that most of them's got 30-06s or 243s or sometimes, you know, I've hunted with a 300 before.
Mm-hmm.
But them's your guns of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you'll, when you run into a hunter in the woods, that's generally what they've got. I hunt with 30-06 and most of the time. And like I said, I have used a 300. That's the biggest I've ever used, but and that's the biggest I ever had.
So you use a lever action or a bolt action?
Bolt.
That's what I figured. And that's the most accurate.
Yeah. Now, John Wayne, he used the lever action.
Yeah.
And
they're cool looking.
Yeah. He liked that lever action.
The rifleman he used. Remember Chuck Connors?
Yeah. Old Chuck Connors, yeah. he used that too.
Yeah. I don't know
about that round, you know, on the lever. Remember he had that big round thing?
Yes.
Is that supposed to make it faster? Or I never saw one of those in real life.
He could swing it and cock it at the same time with that big round lever.
Uh-huh. Well, that was something he made in his barn or something?
Well, somebody made in the barn or something.
I never saw one of those.
No, me either. I never saw a rifleman rifle, except on the rifleman.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Buffalo Bill's Museum in Cody?
Of course I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
now, they some interesting guns and stuff in there.
I think that's actually now the Remington Firearms Museum.
Is it?
It's connected to the Buffalo Bill thing, but they've, you know, Remington took it.
Well,
I never saw so many guns any place in my life.
Oh, they're just thick. They're thick.
You can wear yourself out trying to look at them.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can. Well, you couldn't. You can really, if you looked at and you know, studied each one of them, there ain't no way you get through it in a day.
There are automatic weapons in there that I never even dreamed existed.
Well, yeah, there's stuff in there I never seen before.
Well,
a lot of stuff, right. Yeah.
And they don't have every weapon that was, every rifle at least, that was ever made. They can't be too far from it.
No. They've got about everything that was ever made.
Yeah, it's quite the place.
And then upstairs there, I don't know where they still got the Indian.
Yes, they got the
teepee and all that up there.
Well, they have an Indian art museum.
Yes.
Actually, it's more like Western art because there's some Remington stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but a lot of Indian paintings and pottery.
Oh, I kind of thought that was neat. And, of course, the last time we was out there, which has been quite some time now, they were building onto it then. And I don't know how many times they've built onto it since, but they were building onto it then. And, well, it looked like they'd about doubling it in size.
It's much bigger than it used to be. One thing they have done there is they've kind of enveloped Buffalo Bill's house that he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the middle of that thing now. And,
well, see, that wasn't there when... The house wasn't there.
No, I'm talking the log house, the one in the center that's around. But the clapboard house was there when I was a boy.
Yeah, there was one house there.
It was a yellow house. I've got a picture of me standing in the doorway.
Oh, yeah? Was anybody home?
Just the ghosts.
Just a ghost.
Yeah. What's that music I hear?
I don't know. Yeah, about time to take a break here real quick.
Oh, we got to take a break. Okay. Well, folks, don't go away. Get you some more of them biscuits and gravy and a couple fried eggs on top and a cup of coffee. And by gum, we'll be right back. Don't go away now. Keep that dial right there.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And, you know, if you want to give us a call right here at Inside Outdoors, it's 812-323-1200. We'd be glad to hear from you. I know the boys always are interested in taking some questions. So just want to tell you that it's still 30 degrees. It's overcast.
It's going to be a slight chance of snow showers, and then a little bit more sunny this afternoon, high of 42. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high of 46. Monday, mostly cloudy, high of 50. And we'll be back real shortly with more of Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. Hello, we're back.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly. What was that number?
812-323-1200. 323-1200.
Just give us a call if you got any questions or want to tell us anything or ask anything or whatever. Make a comment, whatever. By golly, get on the telephone this morning and give us a call. 812-323-1200.
Yeah, I'd like to hear if you can't wait to see the Bloomington's new armored vehicle.
Oh, that's a hot subject there.
I'd sure like to get a ride in that.
Well, you know, go down there. The mayor will take you for a little ride.
You think the mayor himself would take me for
he'll
a ride?
He'll take you for a spin.
Take me over to Columbus?
Well, he might take you to Columbus. I don't know, wherever you want to go, maybe.
Well,
he'll be proud of that. He's proud of that there.
I'd like to see it shoot. Does it have a gun on it? I don't think it does.
I think it does.
That's part of it.
So it's got, it actually has a...
Like, port holes and everything.
Like a 30-millimeter cannon or something?
Now that I don't know what size, but...
Well, I'd like to see it shoot, too.
Oh, yeah. Get it out there on the field and let's shoot around or two.
Well, it's supposed to be used for all these riders we have in town. Let's test it out right in downtown Bloomington.
Well, we could do that,
How about City Hall?
See where the shells go. See what buildings they bounce off
of. How many walls will that cannon on our new armored vehicle go through at the former showers factory?
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, you might need it somewhere around, you know, the spring, because we've got the little 500 and, you know, it's crowd control.
Oh, those college students, you know, they're just dangerous. I don't know what.
Well, you never know when you need a good tank.
That's right. We might have to mow some of them down.
That's right.
That's not really funny. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, students. We don't want to mow you down, and we don't want to mow anybody down. You know, like,
well,
I said, you want to use a weapon of war, go to war, Afghanistan.
I mean, even in Annapolis, they don't need one. As bad as it is up there.
Wouldn't seem like it, you know.
I mean, like you said, over in Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere like that, I can see having one over there. My God, shells coming in from every direction.
Yeah.
But here, what? I mean,
I can't remember any right now. I know they had a couple of marches here. This was while I was in Vietnam. They had a couple of anti-war marches here in Bloomington.
Yeah, they did. They do
and,
that.
Marched on poor old Elvis's star. The president's house, mm-hmm. and scared him to death, and he left, you know. And but I didn't hear of any violence or anything like that.
It wasn't. You didn't need a armored car to gun them down or nothing.
Well, you know what they've cited when they bought this thing, what really the need for it was, is when over in Owen County here a couple months ago, that guy had his wife in the house with him, and he was holding them hostage some reason, and they had every policeman in the country over there, but they didn't have an armored vehicle where they could have just drove into his house, drove across it and squashed him and got the hostages free.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what they cited.
How's that help the hostage if they're in there with him?
Well, that's a good question.
He's got to jump out of the way. They have to jump out of the way as he comes through.
Yeah, you dodge this tank.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I guess tanks are one of the easier things to dodge, although I've never played that game. But, you know, they sit pretty high in between those tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get in between the tracks and hope they don't turn, you're probably pretty all right.
Pretty safe.
Right. So most of those have an escape hatch down through the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they got to have room to get out, which means you got room to get under.
Get under, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there we go. Well, what else we got to talk about today, Bill?
I got something.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Well, the ruby-throated hummingbird is coming back.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, they I've seen a map right here on the internet, and they're showing up all the way up to about Kentucky, maybe Evansville right now. That's about how far they've gotten.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah, I had a couple down in Florida about a month ago.
Was they headed north?
Well, they didn't say.
They didn't say.
Well, wherever the geese go is where they go, right?
We didn't have any geese in Pine Island.
Oh, they didn't?
Not a single goose.
Huh, that's odd.
We're gooseless.
You're gooseless, yeah. You sure are.
we are gooseless, although we got ospreys and eagles.
Got all them.
Everything else, we got no geese.
No goose.
I probably make a pretty good meal for an eagle or an
osprey. Well, maybe they're having a little trouble with immigration this year.
Yeah, that could be. They couldn't get over the wall.
Well, that's it.
They got so fat eating in everybody's front lawns over the winter.
Uh-huh. They couldn't fly over.
Yeah, probably couldn't make it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, used to be able to crawl under that wall, but now I guess this new wall, they got down in the ground some, so you got to dig deeper.
You got to dig a little deeper to get your tunnel in there.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't built that wall yet.
Part of it.
Part of it they've been starting.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of the Mexicans, the president, he was supposed to be paying for that.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he something about a bird and, you know, maybe that's the immigration problem with the geese, but he was flashing the bird at the camera. That's all I know.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
And who was he?
The president of Mexico.
President of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that.
I don't either. I'm speechless.
I think it's pretty clear to me.
He ain't going to pay for it.
Oh. Well, you know, if you want to join up and use your AR-15, you can join the National Guard because they're going to be stationed all the way across that 2,500-mile border, making sure nobody comes over.
Well, they tell me that President W. had 1,200 National Guard down there.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama sent 1,600 or more. He sent more down there to guard the border. But now Obama's sending 16,000.
You mean Trump?
Trump, right. Oh, Trump's sending 16,000.
I'm sitting here wondering how much wildlife, like birds and geese and stuff, is going to kill theirself hitting that wall.
Well, not only that, but it cuts off migration patterns for a lot of animals, including things like the ocelot, which this fence goes right through the middle of their territory. They're one of the most endangered animals on Earth, a beautiful cat. And there's also the jaguar, which has been coming across the border into New Mexico, mm-hmm. down in there. That'll stop that. And who knows what else, what other species we're going to do bad to with this world.
Right.
Besides humans.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
We got a caller that wants to say something. Are you there, caller?
Fire away.
I am. Hey, Bill, it's old Ben from down on the ridge.
Oh, old Ben, yeah. How you doing, Ben?
Oh, I'm doing real well. I'm trying to survive this weather, going through a lot of firewood.
I'll bet you are. It don't seem like we can get over it.
No. Hey, I got a question. Turkey hunt.
Yeah?
Could you and Don tell me and the listeners what firearms are legal to turkey hunt with? And specifically for me, being a member of the National Muzzleloading Rifle Association located in Friendship, Indiana, is it legal to hunt with a muzzleloading shotgun or a smoothbore musket?
Well,
as far as I know, it is.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Shotgun, rifle?
Pistol. It has to be a certain caliber. I don't know what that caliber is, but yeah, I think you're okay with your muzzle. You probably got a 50 caliber muzzle loader.
I've got quite a few, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I have not seen a peep about that.
Bow and arrow, archery.
Archery is legal.
Legal. Yeah, it's legal, and I'll try to get a hold of a conservation officer or something this week and make sure. But I'm pretty sure that's the way it is.
Well, yeah. That's good to hear. My weapon of choice would be a French Thule 62 caliber musket that would have been brought to this country by the French in the early 1700s.
Mm-hmm. A musket?
Yes.
That's like a no lands and grooves.
Correct. It's a smooth bore. It would be the equivalent of a 20 gauge.
So you shooting shotgun shell through it, or?
Well, buckshot.
Buckshot. Okay. Well.
Whatever shot.
Right. I got you. Well, that makes actually better sense than trying to shoot one in the eyeball with a 50 caliber rifle.
Well, yeah, the way I shoot it.
Well, me too.
Makes real good sense.
Right. Well, that's a good question. We really appreciate you calling in. Got anything else you want to talk about this morning?
No, just looking forward to fishing season, doggone it. I know the season's here, but the weather's not caught up with the season yet.
No, and hopefully after the middle of this next week, it'll start moderating a little bit. It's time anyway.
Yeah. Well, I better get off here. You guys have a good weekend, and thanks again. I honestly love the show. I look forward to it every week.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in, Ben, and be careful and keep everything on the ridge there under control until I get back, and then we'll work together.
Set the woods on fire.
Well, set the woods on fire. Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
Talk to you later, Ben.
That's one of my favorite old Hank songs.
Is it?
Setting the woods on
fire. Setting the woods on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
You sing loud and I'll sing louder.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, turkey season's coming up here, the 26th, I believe it is.
It's right. Youth season's the 21st, 22nd, and then opening day for regular turkey season's a week later.
Yeah. So it's right around the corner.
Yes, it is. It's right around the corner. Turkeys provide a true test of your skill as a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those kind of sports where you have to sit and wait. You don't really going to be too successful trying to walk up a turkey unless you know where they're roosting.
And then it's kind of rough.
Yeah. It's hard. You have to actually have some skill to go out and bag a turkey. And have some patience. And those are a couple of things in short supply sometimes. But there's guys out there trying, and I'll give that to them. You know, you get out there early in the morning and sit in that hide for 3 or 4 hours, you're getting pretty tired of it after when you're ready to leave.
But, boy, when they go to gobbling, though.
Oh, yeah.
The adrenaline goes to running.
Yeah, it does.
And, by gum, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun.
Yes, it's when they come in and they don't know you're there. You know, you fooled them. You know, there's a lot of interesting things about turkey hunting.
Yep, it's a good sport.
It is, and that's the reason it's so popular. I believe there's more turkey hunters now than there is anything but deer hunters.
And, probably are, yeah.
It's widespread. There's turkeys now in nearly every state,
every county,
if not every state.
And pretty much every state, yeah.
I'd say there is, and just about every county in Indiana is covered now. And there's so many of them, in some places you can get two turkeys, right? Where you only used to be able to get one,
yeah.
And it's in every state, at big time down in Texas, you know, where they got lots of land. And actually, I've seen turkeys just about every place. I haven't seen one in Indiana since I got back from Florida.
You know, I haven't seen them around the house like you normally do. In fact, I haven't seen one for some time.
Well, maybe.
I don't know what's happened to them.
Maybe we can get that Steve Bax guy to fill us in on what's going on with
them. Well, he's probably busy right now selling nightcrawler eggs.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe he'd be looking for turkeys, being it's turkey season.
Well, he'll probably jump over on that there pretty shortly. But This time of year, he kind of pushes nightcrawler eggs.
Yeah, you do you eat those, Bill?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah, take a lot of them to make them in?
Take several, yeah. Make a little ball out of them and deep fry them. They're good.
Yeah. What do they taste like?
Nightcrawler eggs.
Nightcrawler eggs. Is that anything like chicken?
A lot like eagle.
Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
I hear they're kind of like peregrine falcon. We do still have our osprey in the tree next to the house in Florida. Some kind of shift in population dynamics took place last winter or last summer because we have the female up there and we got two males trying to court her.
Two males?
So something must have happened to Big Daddy and they got two little daddies trying to be a daddy. So there's a lot of commotion up there.
I bet there is a lot of commotion,
starting at like 5 in the morning and then continuing all day long. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, man.
Hey, you know, I just got a caller. She's not going to come on the air, but they talked about why there's so many turkeys in Texas.
Turkeys in Texas.
You know, we were talking about hunting down there.
Yeah, that's where W's from.
They said there's a lot of two-legged turkeys down there. And right before Thanksgiving, you know, Rick Perry, some of these others probably ought to be included in the whole hunting season. So I thought that was pretty funny.
They want to include Rick Perry as a game item?
Two-legged turkey, yeah.
Two-legged turkey. Well, I think the best place to hunt those is Washington, D.C.
Yeah, probably so.
There's plenty of them over there.
Yeah, they kind of roost there, don't they?
They roost there. You got that right.
They roost and eat there. They have there are these pig turkeys, you know. They feed them in troughs.
Right.
So there's a lot of those pig turkeys at the troughs in Washington, D.C. Always has been.
And will continue to be.
Right. They still got snow out west. I got looking at a picture here of the Gardner River close to Mammoth. Hey, it's got snow all over the place.
Well, they had a big snow. Montana had a blizzard this week.
Well, you know that's
it's been last week.
You know what's good about that? You'll have water in the streams all summer.
That's good, yeah.
It'll keep the fire hazard down.
I seen where the trout numbers were up.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah, I seen where that was up. I read that in my magazine.
What magazine was that?
Wyoming Magazine.
Wyoming Magazine. Well, there you go. Wyoming, do you watch Longmire on Netflix?
No. No, I don't.
He's a Texas. No, he's a Wyoming lawman.
I think we're going to have to get out of here.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave for next time. But
music's getting louder.
Yeah, getting louder all the time. So, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. And by golly, have a good week. And maybe it'll warm up and we can talk about some warm weather next week. So take care and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.7 in Ellettsville. And online at WFHB.org. It is now 30 degrees, and we'll see you next week. Back on WFHB every Saturday morning, 6 a.m., for Inside Outdoors.